Welcome. And we start our meeting with the Redevelopment Agency. Roll call, please.
Board Member Brendler.
Here.
Board Member Clay.
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Luna.
Here.
Chairperson Bayrou.
Here.
All present.
Now we move to the approval of the agenda.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Mayor Councilmember Luna and seconded by Board Member Brendler. Sorry. Roll call, please.
I have a little something for Mike. I bought you a bat because, as far as I'm concerned, you bat at 100%, never giving up. I go back 16 years with Luna, and I bought him a gavel, and it has a U for Ursula and a G for George, and then it has Luna on it. And I'm going to hand these to you, and I'm going to miss both of you very much.
Thank you, Ann.
Would anyone else like to speak at this community forum? Seeing none, we'll close community forum. And we move to the consent calendar. And there is only one item on our consent calendar tonight, which is the Redevelopment Agency draft minutes for October 28th. Is there a motion to approve?
Move approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Motion by Board Member Luna, seconded by Board Member Brendler. Roll call, please.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Board Member Brendler?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Luna?
Yes.
Chairperson Bayrou?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
And at this point, we recess this part of the meeting until after the council gets reorganized, and we will come back to finish the agenda. So I will move to let the mayor continue the meeting.
Thank you, Ellen. I realize that I've only used this gavel one time in the year that I've been mayor, so we'll call our meeting to order. And welcome to our regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council. For those of you in the audience, you can access a copy of the agenda at the rear of the room. For those of you that are watching us on cable or by means of the internet, you can access a copy of the agenda on the city website, atascadero.org. As related to speaking on agenda items tonight, the after reorganization, our new mayor will address the rules and the protocol. And I would ask that you please be so kind as to mute your cell phones so as not to disrupt our meeting tonight. That said, we will now move to our Pledge of Allegiance, which will be led by Councilmember Jerry Clay. We'll now move to the approval of agenda. I'll entertain a motion.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Luna, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Luna?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. We'll now move to our consent calendar, and that consists of five items tonight. Item A1 and A2 will be addressed by this council, and the remaining items A3, A4, and A5, will be addressed after the council is reorganized. Specific to items A1 and A2, is there anyone from the council that wishes to pull an item? Seeing none, is there anyone from the public that would like to pull an item? Seeing none, I'll now entertain a motion to approve items A1 and A2.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Luna, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Luna?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bayrou?
Yes.
Mayor Brendler?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. And we are now prepared to move to the oath of office that will be administered by Marcia Torkelson, the city clerk. And George, I think it's time for you and I to step away.
All right.
I'll be conducting the oath of office and then presenting their certificates of election, and then they'll take their seats. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, and state your name.
I, Bob Kelly.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I bear true faith and allegiance.
That I bear true faith and allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is to have nominations for the position of mayor. I would be calling for nominations or a motion for a mayor.
As per resolution that was passed by the previous council, I nominate myself for mayor.
I second it.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. The second was Roberta?
Yes.
Are there any other motions? Okay, it'll be a roll call. Councilmember Clay?
I have to justify my vote. Yesterday, I arranged a meeting with Ellen and to go to discuss things that that happened in the past and that we might be dealing with in the future. And it was very disappointing to me that she wouldn't meet with me unless someone else was in the room. And it was embarrassing, and it bothered me a lot. And it's very difficult to support her as mayor if I can't meet with her unless and I don't understand why that she has to have someone else present. So in saying that, and the fact that the ordinance does say that we have to elect her as mayor, I think there's a lot of flaws in the ordinance, but I will vote yes begrudgingly.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Barreau?
Yes. By Councilmember O'Malley and seconded by Councilmember Clay. Can I have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
And Mayor Barreau?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Congratulations.
Before we get to the next item, which is presentations for our outgoing council members, I wanted to take a few minutes to speak to those present here and those who are watching on TV. I am honored to be Atascadero's mayor for 2009. I'd like to welcome the new council members and take a few minutes to outline my goals as mayor and to share some of my thoughts with the community. I have lived in Atascadero for 10 years. I have volunteered my time on nonprofit boards, served on the PTA board at Santa Rosa Elementary, and volunteered many hours at my children's schools. I've served on the Planning Commission and now have completed 2 years on the City Council. I love this community, and I'm proud to know many of you. My husband Francois and I run an electrical contracting business, French Electric. I work half-time as a clinical dietitian at the Atascadero State Hospital. My 11 and 14-year-old children go to school at the Atascadero Fine Arts Academy. I was encouraged to run for city council to represent families and progressive ideas for our future. With the help of my committee, I worked hard to earn a place on this council. The many hours I have spent as a council member has been a sacrifice for my family, and I am grateful for their patience and understanding. The community's support for me has been unflagging and has sustained me through difficult times. I take office at a difficult period in the history of our city. Our country is in an economic recession, and the downturn that began with housing has expanded across the country, affecting all segments of our economy. Locally, our business sector needs help. Some of our wage earners are losing their jobs. Many families are turning more and more to local support agencies to meet their everyday needs. Despite these stark realities, we have many reasons to be hopeful. We live in one of the most attractive areas in the world, a city whose climate and natural beauty have so much appeal that people choose to move here from all over the state and across the country. This influx of diversity and skills is an asset to our city. We have an incredibly time and talent to assist others. Next week, we will donate holiday food baskets to families and provide coats for kids and toys for tots to ensure that people have what they need this holiday season. Atascadero has an outstanding school system. My own children have found teachers that inspire and challenge them every day. We are also fortunate to have a dynamic public library. We have organizations like the Chamber of Commerce and Main Street who are finding new ways to promote and assist businesses in these tough times. A newer community nonprofit, Vision Atascadero, with their Buy Local campaign, has drawn more attention to the numerous locally owned Atascadero businesses and identified the need for all of us to look local first before shopping online or going out of town. So here are the challenges that are facing us. What can we do in the coming year to help Atascadero to move in a more positive direction? How can our city government, even in these times of economic struggle, provide the positive leadership Atascadero needs? Here are five areas the council must focus on. Number one, city council members must be positive role models for our community. The council must grow beyond the political campaign attitudes that have often divided us and instead become examples of civility. We can do this by actively treating each other with respect and honestly listening to the public. We won't always agree with each other, but we can disagree respectfully, and we can make a strong effort to look for the common ground that builds consensus. Number two, Atascadero citizens and community groups must do the same. We need to show support for each other's efforts to improve our community, regardless of the approach taken. I ask each of you to make a goal this year to meet and speak with other Atascadero citizens who may have opposing views to yours. Focus on the future and look for areas of agreement. If each of us are willing to reach out, our community could work together more effectively. Number three, let's be resourceful in our efforts to make our city more economically sound. Within the guidelines of our general plan, we must do everything we can to responsibly jumpstart our economy. In January, we will be formulating goals for our five-year economic development strategy, based on research by ADE and community input from recent workshops. We will finalize this strategy with an action plan by early spring. It will be an exciting time for us all to think outside our own boxes or go beyond our own comfort zones. If that's what it takes to stimulate our economy, then we must do. I will support community workshops to inform and educate, to provide an opportunity for citizens to voice their concerns before any final decisions are made. Let's put the fears and divisions that have prevented us from uniting as a community behind us. Now is the time to adopt new attitudes and new behaviors. I know it won't be easy, but we can do it. Thank you all for listening to my hopes and dreams for Atascadero. I will take my post as mayor seriously and do whatever I can to help all of you here on the council to also be a success. The next item on the agenda is presentations, and the first one is a presentation to the outgoing council members Mike Brendler and George Luna. Am I doing that? Huh? Waiter, am I handing that out? I'm sorry. So if George and Mike are here, we can present them, and then that will be followed by a presentation by Jim Patterson. Oh my, these are heavy. These are incredibly heavy. So don't put them anywhere high up in your house.
What are they for?
These are paperweights. These are in recognition of your many years of service. And we appreciate all you've done for our community. Thank you, George, and thank you, Mike.
Just a quick thank you to Mayor Barreau. And a congratulations to the new council members. And I think if you work together and work for the benefit of Atascadero, if that's your prime motive, then Atascadero has many years of a great future in front of it. Thanks again.
Mayor Barreau, I've been waiting to say that for quite some time. Congratulations. Congratulations to you all. You know, stepping down from the dais took a lot of deliberation, but little regret. It's been an interesting and often contentious 2 years, and I've come to learn more about politics than ever. They call me an activist, an advocate for honest government. If ever there was a time to beat on a pie plate demanding integrity in government, both nationally and locally, it's now. Early in my term, there were people who questioned why I blew the whistle on Kelly Gearhart. And some of you on the dais questioned my motives. My only regret, that I didn't blow the whistle louder and I didn't blow it sooner. Had I done so, perhaps more people would have been spared the financial difficulties that they faced. And mark my words, we have yet to see the full story played out. Before leaving the lectern, I want to thank some people. I want to thank George and Ellen. It was a pleasure to get to know you. I respect your knowledge and your commitment to Atascadero, in particular, your calm and your respectful nature while I was the mayor. And I want to thank my commission appointments, Doug Marks and Jay Sechrist. I'm proud to have had you represent me with your thoughtful and intelligent approach to the development of our town. I want to thank Atascadero's hardworking employees, particularly those at the line level. Do not think that I haven't noticed your commitment and that I haven't noticed your labor, even though there are some who will argue that we are understaffed. You have my admiration and a heartfelt thank you. And most important, I want to thank my wife and family who stood by me as we endured the rigors of Atascadero politics, who shared in my achievements and my frustrations. Tonight is my wife's birthday, and I can't think of a better present than to step away from the dais and attend my family and my health. That's what truly counts. And to my grandsons, Nicholas and Joshy, I know OPA has been way too busy these past 2 years, but starting now, we make that up. And in closing, I'll simply say goodnight to all. Thank you.
And it looks like Jim Patterson has made it. So welcome.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor Barreau. I would like to welcome the new members, Mr. Kelly, Ms. Fonse, to the Atascadero City Council, and welcome back Jerry Clay and Tom O'Malley. You have your work cut out for you, and I wish you illustrates his commitment. And if I may, I would like to read this resolution adopted by the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors, honoring George Luna for 21 years of outstanding service to the city of Atascadero. Whereas, And you can imagine this is long, as he has a long history of service. Whereas George Luna began his service to the city of Atascadero in 1988, serving a four-year term on the Planning Commission, which he was chairman of for 2 years. And whereas in 1992, George Luna was elected to the City Council and has been serving the City Council since then as a council member. And whereas George served two terms as mayor in December 03-04 and December 06-07. Whereas George has served on many committees during these 21 years, including the Road Traffic Committee, the County Homeless Housing Committee, the Atascadero Finance Committee, and the General Plan Update Committee. Whereas George is a strong supporter of recycling and was the first Atascadero councilman to serve as a member and past president of the County Integrated Waste Management Authority from 1994 to 2004, helping Atascadero to become the first local agency to achieve the mandated 50% diversion rate. Whereas George was a prime mover in the creation of the City of Atascadero's redevelopment agency that is responsible for many present and future downtown and Lake Park improvements, George supported and contributed to many public improvements, including the Atascadero Road Program, the Lewis Avenue Bridge, Colony Park Community Center, and the George Beatty Skateboard Park. Whereas George supported historical preservation, including the restoration of Atascadero's iconic city administration building that was damaged in the San Simeon earthquake of 2003, and restoration of the historic printery and naming of the E.G. Lewis Highway. And whereas George advanced the smart growth principles in Atascadero in 1996 that were eventually adopted in Atascadero's 2002 general plan. Whereas George and his wife Ursula are dependable voices for the protection of Atascadero's air, water, oak forested hillsides, creeks, and open spaces. And whereas George has been a fiscally conservative member of the Finance Committee for 16 and a half years that led to substantial improvements in the city's budget outlook, the San Luis Obispo does hereby recognize and honor George Luna for 21 years of outstanding service to the city of Atascadero. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Supervisor Patterson, and my thanks to the Board of Supervisors for this plaque, which is I think, a very special thing to me. There, over those 20 and a half years, there are many people to thank, and one of the reasons why I hesitate to start naming people is that I know I'm going to forget people. It's easy to remember the ones served as my appointees, but there's lots of former city managers and two besides Wade, and as well as planning directors and many people, city clerks included, who helped achieve all these wondrous lists of things that Supervisor Patterson just read. So. With that, I'll just close with a general thank you to not only the supervisors, but to City Council, staff, and the Atascadero public at large. Thank you very much.
Now we will take a 15-minute recess. And is there cake out there? Is that what I hear? Okay, there's cake. So we'll come back at 6:45 to reconvene the redevelopment agency. business for redevelopment agency is the board reorganization. Marcia?
Thank you. I would accept nominations for the position of chairperson.
I would like to nominate Tom O'Malley for chairperson of the redevelopment agency.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Roll call, please. Oh, that's right. You're doing it.
That's okay. Board Member Kelly?
Yes.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Barreau?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes. Chair O'Malley?
Thank you. We'll now accept nominations for the vice chairperson.
I'd like to nominate Bob Kelly for vice chair.
I'll second it.
Thank you. We have a motion by Board Member Clay, a second by Board Member Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member Barreau?
Yes.
Board Member, I'm sorry, Chairperson O'Malley?
Yes.
And Board Member Kelly?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. First item, we have a consent calendar continued. Anyone from the board wishing to discuss that anymore?
Yeah.
Anyone from the public? Motion?
So moved.
Second?
Moved by Member Clay, second by Member Barreau. Roll call, please.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Board Member Barreau?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
And Chairperson O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. We have no public hearing scheduled, but we do have a management report, and I'll turn it over to staff.
Thank you, Chair O'Malley and members of the board. Look forward to sharing this with you this evening. Tonight, we want to discuss public-private partnership and opportunity for investment in the downtown, in particular, the Colony Square project. Let me begin by sharing with you what some of the purposes of the Atascadero Community Redevelopment Agency are. You can see here, of course, the agency is meant to develop our economy in the community, to support and invest in downtown, whether that be through infrastructure or where the private sector is lacking the financial capacity. And so I wanted to show you from the Redevelopment Agency Plan in Article 3 where that's addressed. Tonight we'll be asking you the following policy questions as we give you a report. The first is, does the agency want to facilitate development downtown, particularly retail business? Does the agency want to partner with the private sector to build major projects downtown? Colony Square and the movie theater that's a component of Colony Square are major projects for the community in the downtown area, and so we want to ask, is that something that the board is interested in supporting this evening? The idea that we're sharing with you tonight could also be a model for other projects in the future, should the board so choose. Action tonight could move the theater in the downtown forward. Does the city and agency board wish to do that? As a general point, tonight what we're discussing is conceptual. We want to see if the agency board agrees or wants staff to proceed in this direction prior to actually doing the lion's share of the work. And specific deal points, should you want to move forward in the direction we're recommending, would be discussed, and we would return in January with more specific details and review of what we're recommending at that point. I wanted to show you quickly, again, this is the Colony Square Project site. You have Highway 41 here, El Camino Real here. What we're discussing tonight is the theater portion of the project, which is a 10-screen, state-of-the-art theater with accompanying retail use. And so that's the portion of the project that we're discussing this evening. It is located just outside our building. We are located here in the City Hall building. Again, the project tonight is for Building A, the movie theater. The order of phasing, should the project move forward, the developer has shared with us that buildings F, G, and H would follow Building A, the theater, and F, G, and H are the buildings here in the center, followed by buildings B and C, followed by the final building D in the back. So the project is being suggested to be built in phases. If the project is built in phases, of course, it would return to the Planning Commission for discussion of that phasing. So as we recommend projects to the agency board, I wanted to highlight some things that we'd like you to reflect on as far as investment in projects that we'd ask you to support. First, we believe the projects need to benefit the community. The project that you're moving forward definitely should have appeal and be something that would add to our community's economy and our lifestyle. We would ask testing or reviewing for a project that you protect taxpayers, and of course, any proposal that we would recommend or want to move forward on as an agency should be consistent with state and federal law. This slide explains itself. Why are we here this evening discussing assistance or investment in downtown projects, particularly Colony Square? Of course, we all know the credit markets have tightened up considerably. So a solution we are recommending to you this evening is a partnership with a variety of community banks. And the proposal this evening, I want to give credit to Anita Robinson of Mission Community Bank. She's the CEO and president of that bank, and she's been very helpful in working with staff on putting this together. And she's here this evening to answer questions if you have any at the end of the report. What we're looking at is a partnership that would involve that bank and other community banks in the area to put together a loan package to move forward the Colony Square project, the theater portion of the project. One of the components of this partnership would be the agency board adopting a resolution that I'll discuss next that complies with the Community Reinvestment Act, and also the agency guaranteeing a portion of the total loan. Let me speak quickly to the Community Reinvestment Act, and this is the resolution that is attached to the staff report this evening. The resolution is not a resolution that the agency would make findings of blight. It is not a resolution doing anything other than making a finding that would make a loan to this property consistent with the Community Reinvestment Act. The act, you can see, was passed by Congress in 1977, and basically it encourages or requires lenders to make investments in the communities they serve. To move things forward. And those investments particularly need to be done in areas where there's financial hardship. It's to encourage investment in projects such as this. Every bank needs a certain portion of their loans to qualify under the Community Reinvestment Act. And so in doing the finding and in passing a resolution, making a finding this evening, the only thing that resolution does is makes, we believe, this project qualify for Community Reinvestment Act funding. So should banks participate in loaning to the project, they would receive credit under the Community Reinvestment Act. And the resolution does indeed make findings that the lot is vacant. It's creating a financial hardship in the area around the lot because the lot itself isn't drawing consumers. It isn't generating tax revenue. It isn't generating business as a vacant lot, and that it could be more. And so that's pretty much what the resolution says this evening in front of you. So that's the first action, is adoption of a resolution of financial distress for up to 80%. Similar to a home. If you put 20% down on your home, you receive a loan for the other 80% of the value. And that's what we would see, which would be a loan in this example, and these are approximations, of $10 million. And so that's what this, an 80% loan of $10 million. The project needs a loan of right around $9 million. And so that would have worked out. The project could move forward. As the credit markets have tightened, we've seen a reduction in the amount of loan banks are willing to offer. We have now seen it down to 60% loan-to-value. And so, in other words, you have to have 40% equity in your project, and the bank will give you 60%. And so that's what the chart is showing here. So you can see now it's just below $8 million on 60% if the project went forward to try and get financing, and that is indeed what's occurring. That is below the $9 million necessary to move the project forward, hence there's a funding gap. Now, if we look at the appraised value, if we look at the equity of the project with the appraised value of $13.2 million and a guarantee by the agency of $1.5 million, that creates a total equity in the project of $14.7 million. And that's what this bar chart is showing here. So we've increased the equity, in essence, of the project. What that does then is at 60% loan to value, which is still what the banks are working with right now, 60% of that amount gets you at $9 million. And you can see then the increased amount is shown in the orange that reaches the number. And so that's kind of what's being asked tonight, is that the agency would guarantee up to $1.5 million. Again, this is conceptual this evening, if we're going to move forward. And you can see by the chart here in front of you how that works and how that actually increases the amount of the loan that the project could receive and that banks would be able to lend. So, again, our proposal is to guarantee a pledge to make funds of up to $1.5 million available should the loan terms not be met and the value of the project is not enough to pay off the loan, then those funds, they're pledged, and there would be a risk to those money. So again, we're not putting the money into the project. You're not buying part of the project. The proposal tonight is to say, in essence, you're co-signing for part of a loan, not the whole value of the project, but part of the loan up to $1.5 million. Should there be an issue, that $1.5 million could be at risk. Let me share, again, because this is a 60% loan. So in essence, the project, the appraisal is sold for 13, the loan will be paid off if it's sold for appraised value. If it's sold for 11, if it's sold for 12, if it's sold for 10.5, that would still be enough because of the 60% loan to value to cover the loan. Only if it's sold in this example for less than the 60% value would the $1.5 million that the agency would be pledging be at risk. And so that's the proposal tonight. This is a construction stabilization loan, so this isn't a 30-year financing. The proposal before you does not tie up the money in perpetuity for a long time. This is a loan to get the theater constructed and then make sure that the operations are stabilized, at which point the bank would move this towards long-term financing and the $1.5 would be freed up. It would no longer be held as a pledge. The term that we're suggesting for this concept would be up to 3 years. The bank believes that this project could be completed and stabilized in 18 to 24 months. However, we would look at a term of up to 3 years. So again, this wouldn't be a long-term proposal. The funds that are pledged would be retained by the city in an account held by the Redevelopment Agency of Atascadero, would be collecting interest, so the money is still invested. The city is still collecting interest. It is just pledged. It could not be spent for other projects. And the banks would handle all of the lending and collection in this proposal, and that's what banks do. So they have processes for scoring credit, analyzing risk, processing it through the loan committee. So that's the proposal before you this evening. The benefits, what we as staff evaluated this, the proposal leverages redevelopment funds. So for $1.5 million pledge, you have $13 million in investment in a movie theater. That involves the private sector, so private sector banks are still involved. It would have construction in the downtown, which shows that the agency board is putting downtown as a priority. It would likely result in a theater downtown, a 10-screen theater. The spillover effect of a theater in the sense that as people go to see movies, they'll need places to eat. They'll want to have a coffee afterwards. That would be very good for downtown restaurants and other stores to that nature. And we would see increased tax increment from a theater. And I'll have a financial analysis in just a moment to show you. I do want to highlight risks of this proposal. Should the project go into default and sell for less than 60% of the appraised value, there could be an immediate loss of some or all of the $1.5 million that was pledged by the agency. That said, when the building finals, there will be increased incremental value, and I'll show you that in my next slide. In addition, the $1.5 million is pledged, although it's still invested, and the agency is still receiving interest payments on that money. There is no spillover effect currently. There is no reason to visit the lot. It's not creating jobs or sales or other things. If the theater is built, this is a conservative estimate. The appraised value of the theater building is $13.2 million, but if it's built, when the site is reappraised, it could exceed that with the improvements in the street, curb, gutter, that sort of thing. But assuming $13 million as an example, to be conservative, that would result in tax increment of $67,000 annually, which is an approximate $40,000 increase, an increment annually. There is approximately 30 years left on the redevelopment agency, which would be 40,000 times 30 years, $1.2 million over the course of the project, if only the theater were built and if only increment were collected and if the building never increased in value. So that's just an example to show you the amount, why that $40,000 can be significant in increased increment. And with the theater, you could assume that there will be increased sales tax from concession sales of popcorn and candies and that sort of thing, but also from people eating and shopping in town after or before they see a movie. When the full project is built, the developer estimates the assessed value at over $40 million. And so that would be buildings B, C, F, G, H, D, all the buildings we showed you earlier. That would result in approximately $255,000 annually in tax increment and increased sales and property taxes. And so that's just a quick financial snapshot of what this investment could mean for the downtown. Staff has looked at other alternatives and shared this with the board previously, including the purchase of property, market rate loans directly from the agency, fee waivers, and construction of improvements. But again, in doing each of these things, we need to be consistent with state and federal law. In addition, the agency board has made support of Colony Square a top priority, and our efforts to date have been to provide support and advice pertaining to utilities relocation, finances. We have standing meetings with the developers of the project. This has been given the highest priority in the permit and review process from the Community Development Department. And so each time a portion of the project has been submitted, it is the top priority for review. Again, we have our standing meetings, off-site improvements, including Lewis Avenue Bridge. The agency is invested in downtown, and we've eliminated some of the project requirements that made the project financially more onerous than need be. And so the city has, or the agency, pardon me, has had an active role in this process. And so the policy question before you this evening is, does this agency want to assure and assist the theater project in downtown moves forward? And that really is the question, and we're recommending a proposal to you this evening.
Thank Anita Robinson and the Mission Community Bank for working hard to come up with a proposal that we have to consider tonight. With that, since I don't have the control of the buttons in front of me, I'm going to go from left to right if any board member has any questions for staff. Yes.
Yes, I have some questions. It was explained in the newspaper that we would be in essence co-signing, but I believe you stated tonight that the city is not co-signing in the classic sense. In other words, if the project were to default, the city would not be liable for the entire debt. Is that correct?
That is correct. Your liability would be capped at the $1.5 million you're pledging, not the $9 to $10 million of the total loan.
Very good. And will we have any collateral if we decide to go ahead with this in terms of recourse to get that money back from the developer?
Likely not. In essence, if the $1.5 million is being surrendered, that would mean that the property is worth less than 60% of the appraised value, which would mean there isn't any value left, that the bank would not be able to receive its payoff, and therefore there would be no value left to pay off the agency.
I understand that the proponent is not able to raise the full 40%, but I have had some questions from people in the public regarding whether he's gone the full route and looked through every aspect of how to raise that money. Have you looked into that to assure us as the board that he has done everything possible?
I have had frequent conversations, but the project proponent, Mr. Harrison, is here this evening, and that may be a question you'd like to ask him.
Very good. And I know that if we do approve this and this money is in a separate fund and can't be spent, will this impact other projects that we're currently considering?
It could. There are projects that the agency projects that have been slated go out 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And so if indeed this project were 18 to 24 months, it would likely not hold up those projects because they're years in advance. If the board wanted to do several projects next year, it could. I think at the point it became, when we came back with the final proposal for you, I think Rochelle could share with you some of the projects and give you a better status of what could happen. So
thank
it's a
you.
Mixed answer.
Yes, Board Member Barrow.
Jim, when we were considering other options earlier that we had to decline, one of them was about triggering prevailing wage, and so this option does not do that prevailing wage restriction. Is that
for a construction loan only?
Yes, it's called a construction and stabilization loan. That's
right.
Correct.
And when the construction is finished, obviously, on any project, they refinance, right?
Yes, to long-term financing, and at that point, the agency's money would be freed up.
And at that point, like you say, the agency, we would be out of the game at that point.
Correct.
Right. Okay. And the long term, you're estimating 3 years would probably be the max. I mean, certainly they want to get started on this and get moving, I'm sure. But just as a matter of information. When I'm in and about around the community, there's two things that people seem to want here, and one is a movie theater, and they keep asking, why can't we get it built? And the other is, how long is it going to take to build the Super Walmart? And so I think it's important that we try to do something. It'd be interesting to hear from the public. I think we need to stop. 70% of our folks in Atascadero eat at restaurants out of town, and only 30% eat here. And one of the reasons they state is because they go to the movies in Paso, or they go to shop in Paso or San Luis Obispo, and naturally they eat. So we have some great restaurants here. I hope we can reverse that trend with projects such as this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other board member questions? I would like to mention, I do, rather than giving a handout, I just want to reference that the Economic Vitality Corporation, in cooperation with the City of Atascadero, has done loans similar to this on a smaller scale. There's been approximately 126 loans countywide the EVC has worked with other cities on. Our city has done approximately 6 of these loans, much smaller scale, but every one of them, none of them have ever led to a default, and there are numbers of businesses that have been able to start locally with this little bit of assistance of CDBG money we set aside. Same situation. We don't put up any money into the loan. It's a loan guarantee. And so we do have some experience with this, and it has worked well countywide, and our little experience with the city has worked well too. And before I open it up to the public, did you want to direct a question to the developer? We would ask him to come forward first.
If you don't mind.
So if you would not mind, we'll have Dr. Harrison come forward. And
this is a culmination of 4 or 5 years of work to try to make this happen. I would like to preface it by, because there's been some comments in the newspaper that we tore the theater down and there's no theater. The theater was going to leave because it was no longer viable. And they were very, John Roush with the theater was very interested in having a new theater. So it wasn't initiated, I wouldn't say by us tearing it down to deprive the community of it. He was going to leave anyway. We thought the best effort was to make a best project for Atascadero and a new theater that would be in the best interest of everybody. So.
Very good.
Thank you.
I do have some questions. I've received a couple of questions from people in the public, and
sure.
I'd like to air that publicly so that they have their questions satisfied. One of the questions was regarding whether you have exhausted all avenues to raise this money yourself prior to turning to the city for help.
I believe we have. There's been a lot of hard money difficulties in the community and a lot of things that come out of trying to do that. We've talked to no less than 5 developers from the area, including the Madonna organization and others from the Los Angeles area. What we have received is interest because of the location and what they believe is an opportunity to, because of the depressed nature of Atascadero. Big-time developers will look at projects and say, where is potential? Where is something needed? But what they have said to us on almost all occasions is that this project is too expensive for what they can get out of it. It has too many public areas. If you look at most shopping centers, quote shopping centers, they don't have this intensification of, 20-foot wide sidewalks and all the trees and all the things that we've done. We have conceived something a little different, and so it's been very difficult to interest other people in here. In the project. Almost all of them would say they would redesign it. Some have even said they wouldn't have a theater there, that they would want to do something else. So what we've tried to do is to retain as best we can the original concept that has been well received by city staff and the council and by the community, and particularly in today's credit environment, which is another component of it. A lot of people have said, yes, but not now. We'll look at it maybe later. So I believe we've exhausted everything we can. And to modify just one thing that we've come forth, we have over $7 million invested in the project right now. When you look at the amount of cash in a project, There are rules that different developers go by, and we have exceeded that by the indication that we've gotten from most developers. That's because once you get Building A done, all the other places on the site, the other four or five parcels, are ready to go. The parking is there, all the infrastructure, the water, the sewer, the everything is there, ready to go. And that money had to be put in initially as a condition of the project. The project was conditioned initially that it wanted to be built out at once. And so in order to do that, in order to get the final map, that is, the map that allows you to build the different buildings, we had to do all that infrastructure, which was all upfront cost. And that's what's created this kind of conundrum of not being able to go forward at this point. So I think that we've exhausted what we can do, and I don't believe there's anybody out there that can help us in a meaningful way at this point.
Well, specific questions were asked regarding taking another partner. Has that been considered?
Sure, we've talked to people, and as I say, a number of them say maybe, but we would redesign it. We don't want to do it that way.
Okay, and also a question had come up about whether you've taken all the equity you can out of Cowgirl Restaurant, which was unencumbered prior to this point.
Right. The Cowgirl Cafe has been suffering a little bit, as I think all businesses have. If you talk to any of your restaurant friends that you go for breakfast or dinner, you'll find that all of the businesses are suffering at this time. Cowgirl is questioning whether it's going to even close at this point. I'm trying to encourage them to stay open 4 or 5 days a week at this point. We have, within the last week, succeeded in selling the Cowgirl property with the ability to have the Cowgirl continue to operate out of that location for some indefinite period of time, should they wish. Essentially, all of the money that we are getting, other than $52,300 and some dollars, is going either to the bank that has the encumbrance on the infrastructure, or is notes that we have taken back for the facilitating that sale. Since the taxes alone on the project are $38,000.
Could take, let's say, a piece of property back for a parking lot next to City Hall or something of that sort.
I haven't really thought of that. If you look at the appraisal that was done, we had a recent appraisal done in end of June, early July of this year. What they had attributed, and this gets into a little bit of appraiser speak, and I'm not sure I'm even saying it correctly. I can speak another language, but I don't know if I can speak appraiser speak. Basically, they attributed no value to the parking. What they did is assume a value for it and attached it to the various parcels, but the parking itself did not have a value based on the appraisal. I think it's from the bank's standpoint, what they wanted to do was to assess more value to the areas where you had development potential. Whether they would release any of that parking, that is the bank, to be used as collateral, I don't know. As Jim talked about, the appraisal is approximately $13 million on the building. The loan, or not the loan, but the guarantee would be approximately 1.5. I don't have the exact number, but it would be substantially lower than the value of the building. The building's value, I think, as Jim said, would have to go down to 60% or so before that that guarantee would be in jeopardy. I would submit to you, and hopefully it doesn't happen for any of us, if that happens, you can believe that similar properties and similar businesses are going to experience a percentage drop like that also, and we're all going to be in some trouble, I'm afraid, if that were to occur.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I hope your project goes well.
Thank you. Is there any other? I'm
sorry. Thank you. Councilmember Clay.
Yeah. Dr. Hairston, first of all, thanks for your transparency. And secondly, thanks for staying the course. I know this has been a difficult project for you, and I know that you were committed to do this. So I want to thank you for that. My question is, are you ready to go? If you get the money, are the plans in for the movie theater, and are you ready to go?
I believe we are. I've hesitated to say when it's going to go because I thought we had financing last year, and then, of course, this economic condition had occurred in the nation at large. I believe that we have a team together, and we also found that Atascadero is not known very far away. In other words, where is it? What, you know, what's there, and so on. So, by looking to the more successful business model banks that are local, and I think Mission Community is a prime example of it. They have the willingness and the capability of doing this loan, as opposed to the other banks that we went out of the area. You know, really didn't either have an interest or the capability, and I believe. With your assistance tonight, that we should be able to move forward and move forward fairly soon.
Okay, thank you. And in regards to commercial loans, I know I watched Donald Trump on the tube here recently, and he basically said that commercial loans are non-existent and very difficult to get. And I think it's nice that Anita is trying to work with you, and the Mission Community Bank is trying to work with you to get this project going because it's very important to our community. So thank you again.
Okay, that's fine. Won't bother muddying the waters here.
Thank you, Dr. Harrison. Are there any other board member questions for Dr. Harrison? Thank you. We will open it up to the public.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. I do have a question for our city attorney before we proceed. This project has gone on for some time. We have had a lot of interaction. Is what's before us tonight require disclosure of any ex parte contacts, or would that occur at a future meeting if this comes back for consideration?
I'm checking the agenda to see if we said that we're going to have those.
It doesn't state we would have ex parte.
And it's not a public hearing, so the answer is no.
Okay, thank you. Just confirm that. We do have Anita Robinson from Mission Community Bank. Welcome.
Thank you. Congratulations to all of you and Chairman O'Malley. Thank you. I just want to take a moment and just kind of highlight a few of the things that we've talked about tonight. I've certainly been available for questions, but I've worked with Dr. Harrison over the years, over many years, and recently I've kind of watched the struggles in this project. And part of what has happened here is that, exactly as Dr. Harrison explained, they were ramped up, ready to go, and then the credit crisis hit. Now, you know, the credit crisis is very real. As we got to a much larger institution outside of the area, there's a sell that has to take place, and they have to have a willingness to lend, and they have to have a willingness to take on the level of risk that might be inherent in a project of this nature. Here, we understand it and we know it. The local bankers that I have talked to as I've explored this have expressed interest, and I think that's very positive. And we see that we need to do this in order to get this off the ground and open, to create jobs, and to enable the businesses to move forward. Mission Community Bank, just for purposes of discussion, is a community development bank. And by saying that, it is certified through the Department of Treasury to do this type of work. And so what I'm able to do is to take a project like this, and by virtue of passing the resolution, which clearly defines the nature of the distress, I'm able to underwrite this and pass it on to other participating institutions that are willing to participate and give them the ability to demonstrate CRA activities within their own community. We'll be taking risk. We'll be making a traditional loan. The enhancement of the guarantee helps us in the underwriting and the elements of risk that are associated with this. But by far, the level of risk that we'll be taking will be far greater than what the city will be taking. And we would be committed to do that. We would manage construction. I am recommending, as Jim Lewis stated, a stabilization period. In other words, not going straight from construction right to a permanent takeout loan, but going into a stabilization period, because I think that would be much healthier for the project and also easier for them to get the permanent financing. So I'm really excited about this project, and I think that my peers are also excited, and so you can lead the way by helping us to make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Any board member questions for the banker? Member, go ahead.
Thank you, Tom. If we go ahead with this concept this evening and you go back and get together with your bank members and come back in January with a program and say the city does accept that program, what kind of time frame are we talking about where you would have loan approval and Dr. Harrison could start with this project?
Well, I think that depending on when in January it is, I think it would be fair to assume that we probably could begin construction, things rolling.
So within 60 to 90 days, there's a possibility we could break ground on that?
Absolutely.
And I'm assuming that you think this is a good project or you wouldn't be here tonight. Is
standing here before you and everyone that I in my community?
Right.
Yes,
thank you.
I believe it's a good project.
Thank you. We do have a question from Member Bayrou.
When we look at helping this project, which we all do, I also think about other areas in our downtown that need redevelopment. Could this model be used to redevelop segments of our downtown as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, it's a and Jim Lewis and I talked about this is that this really can be a demonstration project. This is not uncommon throughout the country. There are many, many of the very large cities that do this all the time. And we just haven't really gotten accustomed to this in our communities. And it's once you see some success in it, I think you'll find that it really does work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other board member questions? Thank you,
Thank
Anita.
You.
And it's traditional that we do have a little more discussion with the applicant and someone involved with the project as we have. We'll now begin the public comment portion. We would like you to limit your comments to 3 minutes. We will not be asking you questions and responding. We will respond at the conclusion of all of the public comment. Thank you. Please state your name.
Thank you, Board and Chair. I am here for the chamber, and we've been large proponents of this project from day one, as well as many other people in the community. We think this is a fantastic opportunity, very creative way to finance this this project and to go forward, and a full nod from this board would be most appreciated, I think, by all in the community. I think that the risk is small and the gains are great. Our small businesses here, I speak with our restaurants daily, and they say not having a theater in town is just killing them. And it's changed people's habits now. They might now be renting more movies or doing the Netflix thing that has no economic gain for our city. And I only hope that once those theaters come, that people will change their habits again and stay here, have entertainment here, and enjoy our community. So I wholeheartedly, from the chamber, urge you to give a nod to this proposal. The finance institutions need this from you very, very greatly.
So I'd kind of like to know a little bit more information about that, because I think it's going to it will definitely impact the overall cost. What kind of an interest rate would we receive on our money while it's encumbered? And if approved, how long would it take the actual theater to get built? Once I heard the 30 days from the loan approval kind of thing, so are we talking 6 months, 4 months, what? And then do we get our money after the completion of the theater, or do we have to wait for the completion of the full project? So I would encourage the board to pursue this actively, because I think it is definitely a needed project and can be the springboard for many other projects in the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jack. Next speaker.
Good evening. I'm Len Colomarino. I am an Atascadero resident. And I think most of you know I'm very sympathetic to the idea of developing the downtown, and this project is a very important project in the downtown. And like Councilmember Clay, I heard during the course of the recent city council campaign quite frequently about the desire to get a movie theater downtown. I think it has a social importance as well as an economic importance, and it would be a great boost to the morale of the community to get it done. Having said that, though, I'm an attorney, and I've been through a lot of these guarantee transactions, and a lot of issues pop up in my mind, and I'm sure the city attorney will provide a lot of direction to you on this subject, but let me throw out just a few items that are of concern to me. First, I'm not sure whether I heard that money is actually going to be segregated. In other words, that the city is going to put up money and it's going to be segregated and it's going to be unavailable for the city's use during the period of the guarantee. Now, there's a guarantee, which is when you guarantee something based on your credit worthiness, which is better than the primary obligor's credit worthiness. And then there is also a collateralization, or sometimes a letter of credit or whatever. I'm not sure what I heard here. It sounded to me as though there's a collateralization being discussed, and that's a higher level of commitment. That means that money won't be available for the city's use. That needs to be nailed down. Secondly, I always advise my clients, don't do a guarantee if default provisions won't create a technical default, even where the borrower is holding up pretty well. Also, I would strongly suggest getting indemnifications from the development company and the individuals that are the owners of the development company. And those indemnifications should be supported by a financial statement showing the credit worthiness of the development company and net worth statements from the individual obligors. These are some protections that I think need to be addressed in the course of pursuing this transaction. I hope that they can be addressed satisfactorily and that it can be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Colomarino. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is David Broadwater. I sure hope this project gets built, and I'm not against this kind of arrangement, but I'm looking for some clarity on a number of points. I'd like to direct you to the three-page letter that I submitted for the record for tonight's meeting. I've read the staff reports from back in May when this came up before and now, and I have some questions. Number one, which projects is this taxpayer money going to be used for? The staff report says it's major downtown projects, including Colony Square. So what else is included here? What are we talking about? Where's the money going? Number two, which city projects will be put at risk? The staff report says that there will be, if there's a loan default, we'll have to go into the general fund and projects would need to be canceled or postponed. What projects are we putting at risk here? We don't know. The staff report doesn't say. Secondly, a point is, as previous staff reports have said, that the investors have a number of different options for coming up for their own money in the private sector. Both Mr. Harrison and Hilf could leverage their personal investments or other assets and other properties and come up with over $2 million on their own. It also states that they could get a new investor but don't want to dilute their ownership in the property. Other options that are mentioned by the Kaiser Marston consultants that were hired to the tune of $50,000 back in that reported back in April. So I think there's some serious questions as far as whether or not the staff report pointed out that back in May that Mr. Harrison and Mr. Hilf did not want to look for any other investors, so it's no hands were raised. The fact is that there are two members of the City Council who have received campaign contributions from Mr. Harrison, Mr. O'Malley, that's his campaign contribution form up on the screen now, and also Mr. Kelly has previously received campaign contributions from Mr. Harrison. When discussions like this are taking place, I believe it's important for people to declare that and be honest about it before there are any deliberations made on a project like this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Broadwater. Next speaker.
Good evening, Council and staff. Lee Perkins from Atascadero. I have been one of those asking when will the theaters be built. The Colony Square was approved August 16, 05. 15 months later, on November 7, 06, tree removal was petitioned for from the Planning Commission. 18 months later, May 05, the partners asked for $2 to $4 million from the city. And the anticipated groundbreaking at that time was supposed to be August 08. That didn't happen. And here we are tonight, over 3.5 years later. Yes, loans are hard to come by now. When the project was first approved, however, the city, county, and country was not in the financial crisis we are in today. Even 2 years ago, in August 08, loans could be had. Why didn't these partners move on this project then? Were they having difficulty with the beginning, from the beginning, with financing? If so, it appears risky to use taxpayer money as collateral for this project. If financing wasn't a problem, why didn't this project move forward? We know the city permit for the theater was ready over a year ago. Since we are talking about taxpayer monies, I have some questions, as the other people did at the lectern. When a big project such as Colony Square is approved by the City Council, as this one was, is the resiliency of the developer's finances examined? Are monies to be used for this project that could be used for the Rotunda Administration Building? If so, will approving this collateral stall Rotunda Administration reconstruction? How can city staff argue in favor of this public-private partnership tonight when in May the same city staff identified five viable and preferable alternatives for the developers, including leveraging existing assets and acquiring a new partner? Harrison and Holt.
I believe I'm representing my board's position. I have several board members in the audience, and they will not be shy about correcting me if I'm wrong. First of all, I want to remind you that this project is in the downtown revitalization area. It does represent the fulfillment of many goals in the downtown area. And also, secondly, it is in your redevelopment area. And you've already spent millions of dollars in the downtown area in publicly held improvements, which means you haven't received a cent in property tax increment for streetscape improvements, street light improvements, sunken gardens improvements. We greatly appreciate those improvements, but as far as returning investment directly to the city, none of those accomplish that. This project, on the other hand, does. It's held in the private sector. When this property is improved, your property tax increment in the redevelopment area goes up automatically. When this property starts generating sales tax, your return increases automatically. So this project represents a potential for profit, which probably doesn't exist directly in other public improvements that you've created over the last 4 or 5 years. And finally, I want to remind you that in the downtown area, we have always, the Main Street Board has always supported this project as being a linchpin project for the success of the area. And in a nation right now wherein we are all searching about for ways to make improvements, and many people are asking, what can we do, what can we do? This is one of the few very distinct areas that you can point to in the city of Atascadero and say, this is an action we can take that will have direct positive benefits.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Welcome.
Good evening. I'm Mary Arnold, and I'm chairman for the Chamber of Commerce. And I would like to recommend that you ask staff to go forward to bring you back any finalization to move this project forward. A question that I do have is that as this is RDA money, and as the state is looking for funds, and I have heard that Governor Schwarzenegger would like to take RDA money, by pledging this $1.5 million, would you prohibit him from taking of our funds and us not being able to utilize it to complete Colony Square? And also, lost my train of thought, so ditto on what Steve Martin had to say.
Thank you, Mrs. Arnold.
Well, Ray Johnson, Atascadero. Having been part of the process when we established the redevelopment agency, one of the critical issues was to use the money to redevelopment areas of our town that needed that effort, and if there's an area that needs that effort, it's Colony Square. The council I was on a long time ago, clear through to the most recent council, has been 5-0 in getting downtown redeveloped. This is a critical issue. In my former job as the CEO of the Economic Vitality Corporation, I visited many site selectors across the nation and tried to site many businesses. And they're all show-me-the-beef kind of people. Show me what's going on in your city. I might be interested if I can see things going on. We've even heard the mayor's dream for our city, to see things going on. If we don't do this, they'll say, okay, nothing's changed. They're not moving forward. You're at a critical juncture. You can't drag this out over the next 3 years answering 15 million questions that are trying to throw sand in the gears and redevelop our town. This is a critical issue. I suspect in this process the city attorney and many others will be involved in a lot of the questions that have been asked. And some of the questions that I asked here at the podium, if people were listening carefully, were already answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any other members of the public wishing to speak? Seeing none, we will close the public comment portion, bring it back to the board. There are a number of questions that I think many have already been answered. I could go through some of the questions, or did staff take notes on these and would like to respond? Either way, what's your
preference? Why don't you share with us which questions you'd like answered, and we'll do our best to answer them.
Okay. Sandy Jack, first speaker with questions, the prevailing wage issue. I don't think that applies in this case. Is that correct?
I'll have the city attorney answer that question.
We are reviewing the prevailing wage issue at this time.
So if this was brought back to us, we'd have a report on that. And
you will.
Thank you. And the question of what was the interest rate while the funds are encumbered? Well, I'm assuming whatever we're getting currently, that would continue, but I could just ballpark, what are we earning on our funds in reserves at this point? Rochelle?
Unfortunately, only 2-3% at this time.
Life is hard. Thank you.
And that's one of the details, Mr. Chairman, that we will work with the bank if you ask us to move forward tonight. There are several details, but of course, we will be working with the bank to get a competitive interest rate as best possible for the agency in this effort.
Sure. But again, these funds would not be leaving our control. We would continue to earn whatever interest we would had we not made this commitment on these funds, and we would. These funds are only at risk for up to a three-year period if this project defaults, and it defaults to the extent that it falls to less than 60% of current appraised value.
Yes, the funds would still be in an account held by the redevelopment agency and would be collecting interest. However, you would be restricted from spending those funds on other things.
Right, and because those funds would be pooled with our other funds, we would get the best interest rate we could with a much larger pool. This money isn't set aside in a separate account that would be competing for interest at that smaller dollar amount. Is that correct, Rochelle?
Well,
we don't know yet.
I think those are some of the details we need to start working out with the bank if you ask. Again, this is a concept tonight that we're asking. Before we went through and spent tens of hours working on all these details and having legal costs and using the bank's time and staff time, we just wanted to check with you to see if this was something that you wanted us to pursue. I do want to just remind the board that what the proposal is tonight is for construction of Building A. And one of the assumptions there is that the theater, the owner of the theater, is operating the theater and has financing to operate the theater and moving forward. We understand that that is moving forward, but that, of course, would be a condition of the guarantee is that there is indeed a theater operator moving forward at the movie theater. So I just wanted to make it very clear that this is to assist the construction of Building A.
Good. And I think that will be, I think our community is looking for the full package. I think that's something we'd want to know how that was coming together. And I think simple last question was, when do we get our dollars? And I think that was the three-year period. This is at risk. We could then reallocate those funds.
That's right. So when the stabilization period is over, and that's something we'd work with the bank on, that means the building's built and it's operating to the bank's satisfaction, the money would be returned to the agency. One of the reasons the topic tonight is public-private partnership opportunities for downtown is that money could be released back to the agency and used for the next project that the agency board may determine. If you were pleased with how this process worked, then you could use that money as a revolving amount to keep projects moving forward. That would be at the board's discretion.
Thank you. And Mr. Colomarino had some concerns about, is this money segregated or collateralized? And I think you addressed that, but would you like to respond to the way he worded that question?
Yeah, as we understand the concept, you are not using the full faith and credit of the agency, the redevelopment agency of Atascadero. So you are putting aside money in an account. What I want you to understand, as we understand this, you're not loaning the money yourself and it's gone. You are putting the money in an account held by the redevelopment agency of Atascadero. Interest is paid in that account back to the redevelopment agency, and it shows on our books as our asset. So it's still our asset. Our name is on the account. Is the money segregated in the sense that you wouldn't be able to spend it to build bridges or pave roads? Yes. So does that answer your question?
Yes. And essentially, this would be adding another category to the reserve. We have significant reserves.
Correct.
For future projects. We aren't going to spend it all now, given uncertain times. So this is simply using some of those funds that would have this other designation.
You could look at it that way. It's just simply another investment.
Thank you. Mr. Broadwater had a number of questions. I'm not sure that I followed all of them. Would you, anyone like to address any of concerns raised by Mr. Broadwater, either city attorney or...
The questions were along the line of what other projects will this money be used for. In the staff report, and I did prepare the staff report, what that is saying is that this could be a model program for you to use it for other projects as well if the board was pleased with this funding for Colony Square. And so the money before you is being recommended up to $1.5 million would be for Building A for Colony Square only. But the language in the staff report is referring to this program could become a program of the agency and then used for other projects.
Good. Another question he had was which projects might be at risk. And what I understood is you would be showing us what projects we have budgeted for in the future, and we will take a look at that when this comes back to us if we request, and we will see what projects have been funded, and potentially one of those could be at risk if this has a problem.
That's correct. Again, several of your projects are several years out, so there's only so much project that the agency can handle with staff and the resources we have, and so several are slated for many years out, road improvements, parking lot purchases, those sorts of things. And so if an opportunity came that one of those was needed and this money was still in the three-year period tied up, then, of course, we'd ask the agency board, here are some projects that are coming forward. We would need you to make a decision. But at this point today, to tell you that project A, B, and C,
right,
that would be your decision.
And I believe any projects that are designated are listed in the budget book, and we will review those if this comes back to us.
Correct.
Thank you. And I think the question was, as has been asked by others, what's the possibility of folks coming up with other money based on the, I think it's the Kiger-Marston report? April. Well, I think any report done 8 months ago about financial information may not be valid anymore. But would you like to? I think that question was answered. That other avenues were pursued. Board Member Fonzi also asked that question. As far as any campaign reporting requirements, I think Marcia. I think we have all. We've complied with all laws related to...
Yes, you have filed all the appropriate paperwork, yes.
We've gone the extra mile. We have everything posted on the web, one of the first cities to do that, I believe.
Yes.
And our city attorney, as far as you know, we're in compliance with all requirements of the state. We've done everything we need to do.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Any board members have any questions about...
Well, just the one question was...
I just want to finish up with the questions of Mr. Broadwater, and I am still working on the other.
Okay. Well, in addition to the contributions, I have had a few conversations with Dr. Harrison regarding his project.
Yes, I think we all have, and I don't know if this comes back to us, if ex parte will be required. I think it's a good idea to do that in any case if this comes back and we're committing funds, but I'll have to scratch our heads because we've been working on this for a number of years. Ms. Perkins had some questions. Why didn't this project move forward sooner? Well, we were sure working on it 2 years ago, and you'll have to ask a previous council about the last 2 years, but I think this council is moving forward. Any other response to Ms. Perkins' question?
I would just, if I may, Mr. Chairman, there was some question about our finances being examined. Are we aware of what the developers' activities are doing? I would want to share with you that part of the advantage of a public-private partnership is that Anita's bank, it's a bank. It is in the business of making loans. They're loan professionals. They have review processes. They have staff that looks at financial records of these individuals. They're putting far more at risk than you are, and I'm trusting that the bank will not make a loan if it's not a good loan. And so that's part of the good purpose of partnering with the bank. The Redevelopment Agency and your staff, we aren't in the business of issuing loans for construction. We're a government agency. And so I think we are somewhat moving forward relying on your partner banks to do the scrutinization and look at the finances, because that is what they do.
I'm not too worried about the risk in the market. I'm more concerned about the risk Ms. Arnold brought up about. What about the governor taking our money? And does this help us in any way by having these funds committed? Or could you just give us a quick report of what the status of redevelopment agency funds are with the state?
Well, as of today, we don't believe that there's any additional take from redevelopment agency funds, but this would not protect those funds.
Thank you. And those are going to be at risk no matter what we do.
That's correct.
But I think the League of California Cities has been a strong advocate protecting those funds, and so far the legislature and the governor have bypassed taking those funds, so that is encouraging. I think that answers all the questions that come from the public. Any board member questions or open for motion or further discussion?
I'd just like to make a comment. I think this is really an unusual project for Atascadero because, like Trader Joe's, everybody wants it. We haven't had anybody say they don't want the movie theater. And it's been a hot topic when Dr. Watkins comes to town with the economic forecast. The Colony Square and the movie theater is a top item that he talks about. The new economic survey that we had, they talk about Colony Square and the movie theater. Our revitalization plan, it's always the movie theater and the Colony Square. And what we're proposing tonight, if we go ahead with the concept, is not only good for the Colony Square, but for the whole town. It's going to be good for all the businesses in town, all the restaurants, the little shops. When people come to see the movies, they're going to be walking through our downtown. So it's good for everybody. And during the last campaign, Jerry, Roberta, and myself, and I'm sure the other council members, put great emphasis on Atascadero becoming business-friendly. This is our opportunity to show the rest of the world that we are business friendly. Right outside the front door of here, we have a very fertile field out there waiting for the seed to be planted. And I think we would be negligent in our responsibility to the city of Atascadero if we didn't go ahead with at least the concept and look into this and hopefully approve it and get the Colony Square going within 90 days or sooner.
Thank you. Board Member Clay.
Bob, I didn't know you were such a speech giver there. You did all right.
Neither did I. I've been practicing for I don't know how many years.
Anyway, I think it's time to cut bait and fish. And we can nitpick this project forever and nitpick it away if we want to. And with that, I'd like to make a motion that we adopt the recommendation of staff to adopt the draft resolution declaring that distressed economic environment exists at 6905 El Camino Real and direct staff to begin discussion with Mission Bank, Mission Community Bank, and other community banking partners in the area to guarantee collateralized loans for investment in major downtown projects, including Colony Square.
Thank you. I'll second.
I have a motion by Board Member Clay, a second by Board Member Bayrou. Roll call, please.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Board Member Bayrou?
Yes.
Board Member Fonzie?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
Chairperson O'Malley?
Absolutely.
Motion passes 5-0.
Could we have a real short break? I'm talking about short.
We're almost done.
Are we? Well, let's just go ahead.
We're
then.
Just about done with it.
I'll hold myself.
Too much water.
Isn't it great to be able to laugh in these chambers again?
Oh, yeah. All right.
Thank you. It's very exciting to see this project go forward. And we now have on the agenda any board announcements or reports? Seeing none, I'll adjourn this meeting. And could we take a brief?
Yeah, we'll take a five-minute break, and then we'll go reconvene our council meeting.
Nice job, Tom.
No, I just put that up. I'm next. Yeah.
I would like to reconvene our city council meeting.
So then I'm gonna
move. Do you have a couple more items to address tonight? Thank you. So reconvening our city council meeting, and the next item on the agenda is a presentation, and this will be done by Bob Wilkins regarding our Veterans Memorial. Welcome.
Good evening, council members, Mayor Barreau, and staff. As you know, November 4 was the new beginning for the citizens of Atascadero. Saturday, November 8 was an outstanding day with the dedication of the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial. Over 2,000 citizens attended the unveiling of this memorial. This memorial came about in 2003 when a class reunion was held for Atascadero High graduates. Graduate Leroy Dodge was instigator and the inspiration to help bring the idea to fruition. Committees were formed, fundraising started for a project that many stated that this could not be accomplished. This memorial was a dedication of the citizens, business community, corporations, service organizations, and veterans of Atascadero and the surrounding area. This memorial is proof that the citizens of Atascadero can and will make a difference. This was a project that came about by personal contributions, labor, and material donations. Local artist Mark Greenaway made proposals, miniature models, design concepts were made, plans were made, adjustment and modifications were added. The final design and project now stands proudly at Atascadero Lake Park. This memorial is certainly the beginning of the healing of Atascadero and moving forward. The families of veterans now have a memorial to reflect on their loved ones, those who fought for the freedom that we enjoy. The black granite plaques identify the various conflicts from World War I to the current War on Terror. San Luis Obispo County residents, the true heroes that paid the supreme price, have their names engraved on these panels. One panel in the middle, behind this impressive bronze, Faces of Freedom, lists Atascadero residents that died in the service to our country. This monument is for the citizens of Atascadero. Having accepted this memorial on Saturday, November 8, 2008, I present this Mark Greenaway bronze, Faces of Freedom, the granite Heroes Wall, and the pavered Pathway to Freedom to the Council for all citizens of Atascadero. This certificate is signed by Colonel Bill Hatch, Chairman, Lieutenant Colonel Alfonsi, Vice Chairman, and Ann Hatch, Secretary. This memorial is a gem within this community. Members of the community were the foundation for this project. On Dedication Day, November 8, the Quota Club, under the leadership of Linda Modica, the Kiwanis with Jimmy Quiznes, and Brian Atwell, president of the Kiwanis, and Boy Scout Troop 226 with Scoutmaster Don Landy, Assistant Scoutmasters J.D. Koo, and Dennis Swanson. These organizations were there from the start to the finish, making this a class act event. Quota, Kiwanis, Boy Scouts, and veterans, please stand up. Thank you. Council members, this shows that you have a community behind you. They will help you make it happen. I would like to publicly thank all citizens that participated in this project. Also, restaurants, bakeries, and delis, and suppliers provided a reception following the dedication. They were very generous. We are ready to move forward. Let us use a phrase that the veterans focused on. Failure was never an option. And I'd like to present this plaque to the mayor and the council.
We appreciate the hard work of the Veterans Committee. Thank you. We will find a good spot for this.
Could we comment on this?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. I've been out there. You have to go out there 2-3 times, folks, really, to get the full meaning of it. Every time you go out, you get a different feeling. And I was there on November 8th, and it was a beautiful ceremony, and I've gone back twice. But I took Joe DiDomenico, and we know him as Papa Joe, and with the Kiwanis, and we went to lunch, and we went to lunch at the youth center, or the community center, Colony Community Center, and they serve a nice lunch there now, folks. It's really interesting. But we remarked on what a quality project the Colony Youth Center was, the Colony Community Center was. And then we went over to the Veterans Memorial, and Papa Joe and I did. And again, what a quality a piece that is. And the entire committee is, you know, be commended what they did. I mean, it was amazing. And Mary Chastain, also, I'd like to recognize her name. She was one that stepped up that night that Leroy Dodge and his group come up. We were meeting at the lake pavilion, and Mary Chastain would come up representing the Vietnam vets, and really all they were asking for was just
some benches in the park with the names of the folks that lost their lives in the Vietnam War. And then Leroy Dodge and his group wanted not much more than a plaque somewhere. And it grew out of that, benches in the park, to what we have today. And it's just really amazing. So, you know, the veterans themselves, you know, some of us old-timers kind of started out, and the veterans themselves, Colonel Hatch and Alfonsi and all the veterans took this over, and they just did a marvelous job with it, and it just grew into something that it seemed like it was meant to be. And maybe you could relate the how the bronze got started there, Tom, at your house, just by accident. All this stuff happened by accident, folks. It was meant to be.
Did you want to add up to that, Tom?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
It was interesting to see how it kind of came together in the community, because Mary Chastain had approached me regarding doing something with the Vietnam vets, and Jerry's old boss, Leroy, was beating on Jerry about getting something going, and Jerry and I did work to bring the folks together, and it was, as I say, you mentioned we were thinking about maybe a bench, but it just happened that Mark Greenaway was working up at my house doing some stuff. I said, hey, we got this committee going on. Why don't you draft out something? He'd done a local artist done a number of bronzes, and so he'd kind of drafted out a few ideas and presented it to the committee, and it just kept growing, didn't it, Jerry?
Right. It just seemed like it was meant to be. If Mark hadn't been up talking with you, we probably wouldn't have had a bronze. I mean, it just seemed like everything fell into place, and we have this beautiful memorial because of it.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks to the veterans for this
Absolutely.
Gift to our community.
Right, yeah.
And thank you guys for your comments. I think it's always great to have a little history. Thank you, Mr. Wilkins, for that great presentation. We'll move to the consent calendar, and this is a continued item. We have three remaining items on the consent calendar. One is the City Council 2009 meeting schedule. The fourth one is a temporary road closure for Winter Wonderland. Please come to that this Friday. And adoption of a benefits plan for the employees. Anybody want to pull an item from the council? Seeing none. Anyone from the public? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the consent calendar.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Fonzi, seconded by Councilmember Kelly. Roll call, please.
Excuse me. Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzi?
Yes.
Mayor Barreau?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Now we move to the community forum section of our meeting. And this portion of the meeting is reserved for persons wanting to address the council on any matter that is not on this agenda and over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and please state your name for the record before making your presentation. Okay.
I have to get my reading glasses.
And we usually let the first person be the pastor. Would you mind ceding your position to the pastor?
Oh, no. He's been here just as long.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Pastor V.A. Haynes from the True Spirit Missionary Baptist Church. I just want to say this. I know I'm supposed to pray, but I've been waiting a long time for this prayer, so I'm going to cut it short. Let us bow your head. Our Father God, we thank you again tonight for what we have heard. And we know that you are a prayer-answering God. We're praying a special prayer for our new leaders who are taking over Tascadero. We want this to be a great city, upright city, a loving city, a beautiful city. Can't do it without you. But if you're with them, guide them and protect them and help us to become good followers and help them to become good leaders. These blessings we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, it's been an eventful night tonight, and I want to congratulate all of you for making on the City Council. Congratulations. My notes are kind of mixed around. My name is Ann Ketcherside, and as of December 1st, actually it was a little bit before then because it takes time to get together, I started a group called Business Friends, just like you've been talking about here, to promote businesses, to have time to meet each other. I actually met three people that I didn't give an invitation to personally that showed up. It was an awesome time. Of course, I ran late because I had to go to the DMV, so I put everybody to work. And it was a fun time meeting and eating. I want to thank the different businesses that contributed, El Compadre, La Mexicana, the Pizza Express, Rubio's, Domino's, and El Taco del Mexico. It was really fun. I have cards. I'm going to be the different people that came that left the cards on the table. I will be passing those out to the community. And some of the ones that came were California Tans, La Rosa's Automotive, C.L. Atkins Construction, Laser Solutions, Woody's Barbershop, Central Coast Cooks, Captive Hearts, Schultz Elder Care, and AAA House Cleaning. It was a fun time. I'm not doing anything for January because of the holidays, but the first part of February, I will be doing something. We already have a building that people have told us that we can use, and I would like to invite this council, and it will be open to the public. And it was just a fun time. This is something that actually I have been talking about doing for 10 or 15 years, and now I'm finally doing it. So it's better late than never. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening again, Council and Mayor. Ho, 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 and Merry Christmas. Want to give you a little holiday update here. This last Friday, as you all know, because you were all there, and thank you for that, we had a wonderful wine and wassail downtown. In addition to having our businesses downtown and receiving the community into their shops, we also had an art tour that was put on by Heather Young Curry and her artist friends. And also we had the tree lighting ceremony, which was quite dramatic in the Sunken Gardens, and Santa Claus greeted the kids. We had hundreds of people downtown. The shops that were open, and we had quite a few of them, were full. People were enjoying themselves, and it was just a wonderful holiday season. And one of the things that Main Street did that night was to give the first gift of the season. That's our downtown discount card. And yes, this is a sales pitch, except for the fact you don't have to buy it. It's absolutely free. Anyone who holds one of these cards gets a 10% discount in selected services or merchandise in any one of our 17 participating merchants listed on the reverse side of the card. If you don't have your copy of the card, see me right after the meeting. Coming up next Friday, or rather this Friday, we're going to have our 7th or 8th annual, we've kind of lost track, Winter Wonderland, and we will have, as usual, more snow than ever before. We will have two huge snow slides, three snow piles, and a partridge in a pear tree. We will also have Main Street's new portable stage filled with entertainment. We will have 30 vendors from as far away as Northridge and San Francisco. We will have stores open. We'll have the Elk's Little Train. We will have fire engine rides. We will have pony rides. We will have the fire safety house. We'll have more than you can possibly do in 4 hours between 5 and 9 p.m. on Friday. And we want to invite everybody in the community to come downtown to the Winter Wonderland. And lest I get fined, Kiwanis will have a crew of people working on the snow slides to help move the snow around and get the kids down to the bottom safely come Friday evening. So that starts at 5 p.m. in downtown Atascadero on Friday afternoon. And I want to thank all the folks that helped with wine and wassail. Of course, Paula Anton from the city, she put together the street lighting ceremony and Santa Claus, Heather Young Curry, all the shops that were open, all the people that came down to shop. We want to thank them because without the shoppers, we have no downtown. We thank them all, and we wish you all a happy holiday season. Don't forget your downtown discount card. It's good through December 31st of next year. Happy holidays.
Steve.
Mr. Martin, hold on.
Wait, you're going to ask
Councilmember Clay has a question.
Yeah, what's a wassail is what I'd like to know.
Well, some people have thought it was a small furry animal, but that's
yes,
not the
right.
case. That's not the case at all. Wassail is, I believe, an old English custom. It's a ceremonial punch bowl where you toast people's good health during the holiday season. When you have wassail, you have a punch bowl, and you wish everybody a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Well, thank you for that. You know,
my pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Wassail, not weasel.
Mr. Martin, wait, there's more questions.
Just Merry Christmas, Steve.
Hasn't my light gone off yet?
No, it hasn't.
I do have a question. I know he's just saying Merry Christmas. Now, if you're not here tonight to get the card, they can come to your office
you
and pick one up. Is that
correct? You may pick up a downtown discount card at any participating merchant. You can pick them up at the Main Street office, which is 5901 mm-hmm. East Mall. You can pick them up at the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. Or you can go to our website at www.atascaderomainstreet.org. There's a button you click. You can send us an email, and we will mail it to you.
So there's lots of opportunities.
Lots of opportunities.
And as I can see by the list here, almost every downtown store is participating.
We have, I believe, 17 stores listed here, their names, their addresses, and their phone numbers. So, for instance, if you wanted to know if that particular piece of artwork was still available at Wilkins Photo and Art Gallery, you could actually call and ask before you went down there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks for the update, Steve.
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hello again. I'm Len Colomarino from Atascadero. I wanted to bring up the subject of the denial of the appeal with FEMA. I wanted to talk with you about this briefly. I've been through a lot of these situations in litigation and various other legal proceedings, and I know what it is to get a setback, and we've suffered a setback here. But it's only a setback, and there's a lot more to be done. I don't know about pursuing a second-level appeal. I haven't been apprised of enough to know whether that's a good idea, whether anything will be different the second time at the next level than it was at this level. But I presume that there are arguments to be made, and there'll be hopefully a more receptive group of judges at the next level. But beyond that, there are opportunities now with the incoming administration in Washington, I think, to get funding for the city and the redevelopment of the Rotunda building. In particular, I noticed that the infrastructure program that's planned by the Obama administration includes a provision for retrofitting public buildings, particularly with respect to their heating and cooling systems. Now, I know that that HVAC is a major item of the restoration of the Rotunda building. I think it's $4.5 million or something like that. There might be an opportunity through this infrastructure program to get money for that purpose. Also, there's a stimulus program that's in progress, and I was listening to the proceedings of the supervisors meeting today, the Board of Supervisors meeting, and I heard Supervisor Patterson say that he had been contacted, I think, by Barbara Boxer's office with respect to suggesting projects in San Luis Obispo County that might need funding as stimulus projects. I actually mentioned it to him this evening. Mm-hmm. There might be a possibility there also to get some funding for this project based upon how important it would be in stimulating economic activity in the downtown area. So those are two avenues to consider, but there may be a lot of others, too, under the infrastructure and stimulus programs that are being pursued. Beyond that, we have a new Homeland Security director coming in. There'll be a new regime there. I think that we can start the air war now and try to get to the highest levels in FEMA and make the point to FEMA that we are a community that suffered from a natural disaster and we need relief. And we should be getting relief, especially at this time when things are so bad and it can help us so much. So those are things that I think we should try to pursue, and let's recover from this setback and move on. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, and we'll have Rochelle touch on that when we close public comment. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Wendy Rogers, a local merchant. I own the Red Tree Gallery. I just wanted to say that thank you to the city with all the construction that was going on Traffic Way. It was challenging to be a business, but at the same time, everybody goes through it to get improvements, and everybody on our street appreciates the improvements on Traffic Way. It's beautiful. It's nice. It's much safer to cross the street. It's my kids can walk across the street without me feeling like they're going to be hit by a car. And our voices were heard through the process from the city when we had complaints or concerns. Dave Athey and also Granite Construction were right there listening, and I really want to thank them publicly because they really came down and took care of concerns that we had. And I just want to say it's beautiful down there, so it is accessible now. So welcome downtown. Thank you.
Could I just
thank you.
Comment?
Go ahead, Councilmember Clay.
Yeah, it's nice to hear a nice comment like that, and I had an opportunity during the Wassel episode to go in your store, and you have some beautiful, beautiful pictures there. I'd recommend everybody to go in and check you out. Thank you.
Welcome.
Good evening. Joanne from the Chamber. I just wanted to remind everybody that this Thursday night at the Carlton Hotel, our monthly membership mixer will be taking place. And that's our monthly event where members, business members, can make those important connections in the community. And then on Tuesday, the 16th of December, we will also be back at the Carlton Hotel for our Empower Hour. And in the effort to bring tools to our businesses and to educate them on how to market in these really tough times in the economy, we will have representatives from radio stations, newspaper, giving them the 101 on how do you create a great radio spot, how do you make placement, what elements comprise a really good print ad, and the frequency you might consider, because we really want to encourage our businesses to, you know, keep putting themselves forward. That's how you stay alive in our community. And that's what the Chamber is doing to help educate our local businesses. And we thought that was so important that we have devoted the Empower Hour to that this month. Come in January, we will be having Susan Wog, who's the employee attorney. She will be telling us all of the latest, greatest things that we all have to do to comply with our employee law. So with that, have a happy holiday, everyone, and I hope to see you at our mixer and different events. Yes, Jerry.
Sounds like Councilmember Clay has a question.
Joanne, is tomorrow the last day for recommending someone?
For Citizen of the Year and Business of the Year and Business Person of the Year, yes. Tomorrow is the deadline for us to receive those written recommendations because the board meets on the 11th to make those decisions.
And you have those applications in your office, sir?
We do. Okay. And then those announcements will be made at our annual dinner that will be held Saturday, January 17th.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Barbie Boots, resident of Atascadero, and I congratulate all of you for your new positions and Ellen for your new title. This is just a reminder. Everybody else has done their commercials, so guess what I'm up here for? Coats for Kids. I don't want you to forget. On the 16th, 17th, and 18th, we'll do our Lowe's and Fishes, Kiwanis, Marines, Toys for Tots, Coats for Kids distribution. We'll be setting up on the 16th and 17th, distribute on the 18th. And I know we've always had staff members come over and give us an hour of their time. We really appreciate that. So any of you are invited to participate. And actually, if you just come and see what it's all about, you'll feel real good. It'll start your holidays, believe me. And if you have not turned in a coat, and Jerry, someone commented tonight and said maybe you'd like to get rid of that jacket.
My wife was making those same remarks. Okay.
I said, I'm going to work on Jerry and get that jacket.
I don't know who would want it.
I won't tell. But if you do have coats and jackets, remember, you've got to get them to the cleaners. I would say right now, get them in there this week because they're hard-pressed to get things done, and that's Village and Fashion Cleaners. So the rest of the drop-off places, I think we have a drop-off place at the police station, the fire station, actually right around the corner at Main Street. That's close. The office is close enough for all of you. So thank you, and I hope you'll all participate. I'm going to be looking for that jacket, Jerry.
Barbie, afraid if we cleaned it, it may fall apart. You know?
Barbie, I do have one question. You said the days, but what's the location if people want to come and volunteer? the location?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the National Guard Armory. Right. And you all know where that is, Traffic Way in Olmeda. I hope you know where it is.
And what are the times?
And thank you. The times would be 8:30 in the morning, any day, any of those days, 16, 17, 18. And we usually run until 2, at least 2 o'clock or until we're finished. So, you know, like I say, if you have an hour, don't feel that an hour isn't enough. An hour is a big help. So hope to see you. Thanks.
You'll probably see a lot of us down there. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Alfonzi, Tascadero resident, here to talk just very briefly about the Veterans Memorial Foundation. First of all, I want to let you know that Bill and Ann Hatch would have been here tonight, but their son is receiving his wings as a Marine aviator this week, so they're in Pensacola, Florida, so his dad can personally pin his wings on them. As far as the foundation goes, we've been getting a lot of questions. When are the rest of the bricks going to be installed that people have bought from October onwards? In November, after the dedication, the people who did our brick engraving in Los Angeles dramatically increased the price, almost tripled it. So we're going to be buying a machine and doing it locally here with a local engraver. And they'll all be in hopefully by 1 March, not later than that. I also want to let you know that we have 2 additional names to add to the wall. Since it's been up, the public interest has been phenomenal. There's people there all the time. But people still come up. I still have calls. When are you going to build a memorial? And I said, have you been down there? And they said, no. And the last 2 weeks, I've had 2 people come forward with information that indicates their loved ones are eligible to be on the wall. And it's going to cost us $1,000 to add those names. So we are here to support you. This is your memorial now. But the foundation will be here as long as we have people who are interested to do it. We will provide support in any way we can. We're going into the education mode. February, we'll have new elections for our board members and officers. But we're going to be here, and if you need anything, just give us a call.
Yes. I have a question for Al. Al, I'm getting a lot of comments about the bricks and how do we get bricks. And I don't know your phone number, but I know Roberta, so I give them hers.
Right.
But
there is a real estate little box down there on one of the railings with
that.
Order forms. We will keep that filled all the time. Because we have several outstanding orders, we have not pursued putting a lot more, try to solicit more brick orders this time. But we will be available. You can call Mrs. Fonzie at any time.
Yeah.
She will contact me, and we will make sure that anyone who's interested will get it. We'll also put information available to the city. I guess the city desk probably is the best way to do it.
What might be your number so we could call you, Al?
My number is 423-5482.
Thank
you. That's my cell phone. Call me if you want a favor or anything else.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, let's close public comment. And I think the only one we really need to touch back on is with Rochelle.
Let me jump in there. With respect to the City Hall and the FEMA appeal process, it was a setback to only see $160,000 out of the FEMA appeal. However, with all of the other agencies we talked to, they told us not to expect very much out of the first appeal. In the first appeal, we were actually appealing to the people that issued the initial report. So in the second appeal, it actually does go to Washington, and we get new eyes on the report. And we're much more optimistic about our opportunities with respect to those the second appeal, which is really the second and last appeal here. With respect to the infrastructure programs, we actually prepared those packages today. And we are working through Boxer and Feinstein and the infrastructure program on City Hall and a variety of other projects, actually.
And do you have an idea when this might come back to the council?
We do not have it scheduled. Our appeal is due in 60 days from the time we receive the actual notice of the appeal, which we have not received yet.
Okay, so we've got at least 2 months.
That's correct.
Okay. Anybody else have a question? Councilmember Clay.
Just a comment. I talked to Rochelle today, and she talked about the same things that you mentioned, Lynn. So, you know, staff are on top of it, and I think you make a real, real good point there.
Okay. Councilmember O'Malley. Sorry, I wasn't looking.
Sure, no problem.
Well, I did expect staff to be on top of that, and I also going to let Mr. Colomarino know we're aware of that at San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, and there are funds available on a much larger scale, and we're always pursuing that. Our staff are very conscious of those opportunities, and we take every one of them. Thank you.
Okay, great. So we move on to hearings, which there are none tonight. And we do have one management report, and it's Regional Water Quality Control Board Stormwater Management Plan Update. And I believe Jeff is going to do that for us tonight. Thank you.
Mayor Barreau, members of the council, yes, we're here this evening to talk about the city's stormwater management program. This has come before you on a few occasions in the past. Tonight we're talking specifically about our schedule for submittal of a stormwater management program and plan to the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And a couple phrases I think we're all familiar with. Again, we've gone over this in the past. National Pollution Discharge Elimination System, you'll hear us refer to NPDES often, and SWAMP, Stormwater Management Plan. So those two phrases will be used often. Tonight, our recommendation is that the council approve the proposed timeline for submittal of a Stormwater Management Plan, or SWAMP, to the Regional Water Quality Control Board. We are going to stick specifically to schedule this evening and our submittal. We do intend to talk at length about our stormwater plan and the details of the stormwater plan at a public hearing on December 17th. We are still working on the SWAMP, our stormwater master plan, as we speak. It's been a very involved process. There's quite a bit to it. We're wrapping up the final details of that SWAMP, and we do anticipate that it will be posted sometime after tomorrow. And you will receive a copy of that prior to that being presented to the public. Wanted to give you a brief history of the NPDES regulations and kind of how we got here today. And that is where the NPDES regulations came out of. In 1999, the EPA adopted the NPDES stormwater regulations. And then in 2003, the State Water Board adopted the MS4 general permit, which is really the underlying law that we have to comply with. That is state law. It requires that municipal agencies and agencies that fall under specific requirements submit a stormwater management plan. And the Regional Water Quality Control Board is the agency that will administer that. And we deal directly with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And at a previous meeting, we discussed exactly what that Regional Water Quality Control Board entailed. Just to give you a little bit more on how we got here today, the city has been working on the development of a stormwater master plan for some time. In fact, it goes back to 2002 when the council directed us in anticipation of the 2003 adoption by the State Board of the general permit. We started working on that, and in fact, we went through three iterations of a stormwater master plan up until 2003. At that time, the Water Board, the Regional Water Board, our local board, essentially postponed the adoption and approval of any of the local stormwater master plans as they were sorting out some details and really trying to evaluate what the criteria would be for local agencies. And then in 2008, February 2008, it basically resurfaced. The Water Board submitted a letter to all of the MS4s at that time, February 15th, which outlined the requirements that we had to follow to submit our stormwater master plan. We have been working with the Water Quality Control Board and other agencies since that time to kind of understand what those requirements were, asked the Water Board for additional time. That request was denied in an August 12th letter from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. We met with the Water Board staff in person, and as a result of those conversations, we drafted a letter on October 17th, which a copy of it is in your packet, with a proposed timeline for submitting our swamp. The Water Board responded. We did receive in that letter on November 15th, there was a timeline in that package. We're actually also tied in with King City, and King City has the same schedule we have. We asked for and received an extension from January 26th to January 29th in order for the board to postpone posting our final swamp so that you will have an opportunity to review this on January 27th, our final draft. And I'll kind of go through a timeline here on how we want to bring that to you on January 27th. Proposed action at that time is for us, again, to come tonight and present to you the timeline. We anticipate posting our swamp, our draft swamp that we're still working on tomorrow. We will put it on the website. It will be available for people to comment. We will have comment cards on the website. We will encourage folks to come out to that December 17th meeting. That first public review meeting will be held on the 17th here. And at that time, we will talk a little bit about the history that we've talked about a little bit before, but get into the details of our specific program. There are six original elements that we had to comply with. In addition, the February 15th letter from the Water Board required four additional components that we had to comply with. So we will talk about that evening, go point by point on how we're going to comply with those, and we will entertain comments from the public and consider that in a response in preparation of the City Council meeting in January. We will work, based on comments from the public at that meeting, we will work to revise a draft and prepare a final draft. And we will also work with the Regional Water Quality Control Board staff to find common ground in our stormwater master plan. What we want to do is work with them in this process to come to agreement so that when we finally submit a swamp at the end of January, the issues for or potential disagreement will be minimized, and so they'll be able to respond to it more quickly. We will submit a draft swamp to the Water Board on January 5th. This will be the draft that they 27th. Following the meeting on the 27th, we will make revisions to the swamp based on your concerns, your comments, ask for your approval of that submittal, and then submit the plan to the board as a final draft on the 29th of January. Wanted to let you know that as of the 29th of January, that's the time at which the Water Board will actually post for a 60-day review. There will be an additional time for the public and anyone to make comment on this plan following that 29th posting. Assuming that we or someone from the public requested a hearing with the Regional Water Quality Control Board, that hearing would be tentatively scheduled for May 8th, we'll have an opportunity to present any arguments if we so choose to at that time. Again, our recommendation is to ask you to approve our schedule. One of the things that we were concerned about in the process all along has been that we get an opportunity for the public to make comment. And this schedule does allow us for the public to make comment and weigh in on our plan before it's submitted. It will also allow us for an opportunity between the time we submit our draft and then our initial draft and submit our final draft to work with the board to iron out some of those issues of concern. And also it meets the prescribed deadline by the Water Board and will allow the council to have final approval of the draft before it's submitted for posting. With that, I'll conclude my report and answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you for your excellent report. Councilmember O'Malley has a comment or question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, and I did want to make a brief comment. This is an important issue for our community, so I've been in contact with a number of other cities working through this, and have sat in on a Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting when some of these items were being discussed, and have consulted with a number of environmental groups around the state that have had some input on this, and other stakeholders. I think I'm starting to have an understanding for the concerns and frustrations of the Regional Water Quality Control Board staff working with cities. And I do think my observation, it's coming down to some language issues. I've met with our staff, and I'm pretty confident that we've got some way, and we need to support staff in this process. But I from what I've seen, I think there's some language issues we got to work on, and we do have some staff have some good proposals that I think we can make this work. So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you. Councilmember Clay?
Yeah. Jeff, I know you're a very serious person, but because of our name at Atascadero, every time you say swamp, you know, I kind of get a little chuckle. But anyway, the meeting on the 17th of December, is there time on that and yet?
The details regarding that meeting will come out tomorrow. The time for that meeting will be 6 o'clock in the evening.
In the evening. And is that going to be a meeting that council members can attend, at least to listen to? And that's for the city attorney, I guess.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
The meeting on the 17th, can we attend? The council, can the council
yes.
attend? The plan? Okay, thank you.
I think what we have done in the past is notice that as a council meeting and a commission meeting, and then you right. can attend.
Okay, great. And then in regards to the 60-day review, you say people can make comments. How do you do that? Are there going to be places you can go, or just to the websites, or how is that going to work?
The posting on the Regional Water Quality Control Board site in their review period, they will post it on their website. They will take written comment during that period of time. And during that period of time, if anyone wants to request a hearing, they can do so. They will take written comment. I'm assuming that's from their website, and you could submit letters as well.
So if you wanted an audience with them, you could request a meeting with them. Is that right?
Correct.
Thank you.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes, I know some of the terms in the reports previous to this from Regional Water Quality have raised a lot of questions because the terminology was difficult and they were words that we don't normally use. Are these terms going to be clearly defined at the meetings that are forthcoming?
We will spend some time at the beginning of the meeting discussing issues such as hydro modification and impervious surface areas. There are a number of issues that are not really clear to the public, weren't really clear to staff when we first started to get into this. So, yes, we will spend time hopefully explaining that in layman's terms.
Very good. And if the public wishes to submit comments online, you stated this will be available tomorrow. Will those comments be kept confidential?
Welcome. You're it.
Thank you so much. Congratulations to the City Council and our new mayor. Hooray. So many other things I want to talk about. The Veterans Memorial is so awesome. I took my 90-year-old dad there over Thanksgiving, and he got to see his brick. It was a total surprise. He was blown away. He lives up in the Bay Area, and he just kept saying, Jolene, why don't we have anything like this up in my town? He lives in Alameda. We went twice. It was really, really moving. So hooray for the Veterans Memorial. And hooray for a better Atascadero. You weren't mentioned earlier, but boy, people have put hours and hours and hours and hours into developing the PAC, a better Atascadero.
Yes? I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
can you stay
right.
on top?
I'm sorry.
We're talking about the...
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. I got up here and I just got excited about the meeting. Okay.
But we are too.
We haven't been able to clap in a long time. It was neat. Okay. It's unfortunate that the Regional Water Quality Control Board could not grant the extension, but I really appreciate the effort that the city staff has made in making it a point to let there be a time for public information and education. I think it's really, really important. Of course, December 17th is not the optimum time, a week and a day before Christmas. However, I hope that everyone will remember how important this is to our private property rights and make the effort to be here on December 17th. Unless something has changed, please remember that this is going to be about creek setbacks. They're now going to be called creek buffer zones. But as Matt Thompson from the Regional Water Quality Control Board told us right here a few months ago, buffer zones are creek setbacks. And, you know, it's up to us to pay attention to what's going on at the Regional Water Quality Control Board level and stand up for our private property rights. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Nobody else? Okay. Oh, one more. Welcome.
Hi, Ann Ketcherside. I just want to remind the new council members that a lot of people, I believe, voted for you because of property owners' rights. So when you are studying this buffer zone water settlement, which, you know, if you really look at...
support it, because a lot of people have prior commitments. Many will be out of town, have an interest, but if it... they can look at it later in the week or at another time. It would be great. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Are you talking about verbal
Thank
or
you.
Verbal?
Video like you do here, so people can tune in on TV and watch it.
I don't think so.
Okay, we'll go ahead and close public comment. I think in the past, Marcia, you can refresh my memory. Have we just audio taped these workshops? What have we done historically?
I believe if they're in this room, we can audio tape them. Yes, I think that's what we've done when they're here.
We had a meeting, and Wade, you can refresh my memory about this item, and I believe it was audio taped. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so I think that's a reasonable request. Do I need to get council direction on this?
Would you say? I think we
is that
understand.
Fine? Audio taping is fine. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so we can have it available on the web as well. Okay, so bringing it back to the council, we'll be looking for discussion or a motion, and Council Member O'Malley has his light on.
Thank you. Well, and I understand we may still have some discussion, but I would like to get the motion on the floor that we adopt staff's recommendation. Council approve the proposed timeline for submittal of a stormwater management plan to the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board.
I'll second that motion, but I do have a question, if sure. you don't mind. For Tom or Jeff, are other communities resisting some of these four additional conditions that they put on, and do you know?
I can tell you that Lompoc has actually appealed their Regional Water Quality Control Board approval of their swamp to the state board, and also I know the city of Santa Maria is in negotiations with the regional board. And there has been an effort ongoing with other agencies to work with the local board to get some flexibility in that. So, yes, there is some ongoing discussions. And
so would that come after the 60-day review?
Yes.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any discussion here? Okay. Motion by Councilmember O'Malley, seconded by Councilmember Clay. Roll call, please. We'll let the... new council members, let that be known, and then I will move to my appointments to committees.
Well, I'm staying with old Sandy Jack there on the Planning Commission, and Ann Hatch is my appointment to the Recreation Commission, and I haven't really talk to Ann yet, but if she wants to continue, why definitely she has that spot, and if she doesn't, why I'm sure I'll be able to find someone.
Okay, well, if you're sticking with old Sandy Jack, I'm sticking with young Heather Marino on the Planning Commission. I think she's done a very good job, and I appreciate her work on that. And also, of course, I'm sticking with Dan Chacon as long as he'd like on our Parks and Recreation Commission.
Right.
I am appointing Brian Sturdivant, and Brian is in the audience. Would you mind standing up, Brian? And I am appointing him to the Planning Commission. And my appointment to the Parks and Recs, I don't believe, is here tonight. It is Susie Greenaway.
I see. Thanks so much.
And my appointment for the Planning Commission will be David Bentz. David had served on the Planning Commission before. I was a Planning Commissioner for 7 years, and David was there during the rewrite of the general plan. So I look forward to David helping us out.
Thank you, David.
Yeah. And on the Parks and Recreation, this year I was fortunate enough to be on the county grand jury and met Tom Zirk. And during our breaks, we had several conversations about politics and Atascadero, and he asked if I got elected if he would like to participate in the politics of Atascadero. So Tom will be on the Parks and Recreation Commission for us.
And I'm not making any changes at this time, so welcome new appointments. And did you want to? You're going to comment about the at-large later. Marcia will be, and I did.
Yeah. Well, I
did.
Think,
you want to make another comment?
Well, are we going to address the at-large?
Well, she was going to do that later in the meeting.
Okay, fine. We'll discuss it then.
Okay. And then I just wanted to briefly go over the City Council Committee and liaison assignments. These were all discussed in advance, so none of these are big surprises here. Roberta Fonzi will be our representative for the air pollution control. The EVC will continue to be Tom O'Malley. Finance Committee will be myself and Roberta Fonzi. Integrated Waste Management, I will continue on that one. And League of California Cities will be Tom O'Malley. He's the council liaison. And the Slo County, SLOCOG or Slorda, that will also be Tom O'Malley. So those are the committee assignments.
I was going to mention, you might add, with League of California Cities, I continue to be appointed to the State Board of City PAC, and
right.
Should be listed with the council liaison.
I have a question about LAFCO.
Sure.
Is it our turn? I know they rotate.
I understand is rotates to South County, so we're not up for...
Is it a yearly rotation?
Wade, can you help me on the rotation? How often
it's
that happens?
By appointment rotation, but I think that we can submit a name to it. Both the City PAC and this and the LAFCO are not direct city appointments. Mm-hmm. The City Selection Committee can submit those names to it, so we can submit a North County name.
Because I would sure like to see Roberta's name submitted.
And that was the intention, that Roberta would be the one to represent us
great.
If that opportunity comes up.
Let's do that for sure.
Report that.
Yeah.
Great. So I believe everyone's happy with those. So we go to, there's really any committee reports. Tom, do you have any?
Oh.
You're on so many, but usually you do have something to say.
Well, I will mention with the League of California Cities, I was asked by the League recently, it was one of five council members that went up to try to give input to the State Air Resources Board, and I realized that's a challenge. It makes you very thankful for the Regional Water Quality Control Board, but there are a number of legislative items coming down, and I'm just want to ask staff, will we have a report of what the impact of, I think, AB 32 and an update on that at some point?
Yes, you will.
Okay.
We do not have it scheduled. The scoping meeting, I think, is Friday.
Okay.
For the Air Resources Board.
Very good. And I'd say I'll pass on the other items. Thank you.
No report.
No report. I do have a brief report from the Integrated Waste Management Authority, and that name came up when George Luna was getting his proclamation for efforts in recycling. And recycling has been very successful. The numbers for our county exceed any in the state, so we can be very proud for the efforts that we do in recycling. Let's see. There is a Sharps recycling program through the pharmacies. And what else is on here? And they also do are involved in the schools and educating our children about recycling. And they have they give presentations and have field trips. And then commercial recycling is something new in our county also, that it's basically free for commercial. They were able to obtain grants to provide the bins for the commercial industries. And they're also they have the construction and demolition facility that's fairly new what's the name of our coal? Chicago grade. Blanking out. Okay, so they have done a lot this year, and I'm proud to be a member of that board. They meet every other month.
And do I understand you will be rotating into
a higher position? Not at this time.
Okay.
Not this time. But I am possibly next year. All right, so that's committee reports. We'll move to individual determination or action.
Yeah.
Anything from the city council?
I have some comments. Commenting, going around the community and seeing the Veterans Memorial and the Colony Community Center, Youth Center, and our new bridge and everything. It just it struck me, the quality projects that we have right now, and I'd include the Carlton in there. And so it was, we got some really nice things going here. We're fortunate that we that we have reserves. There's cities that are. Have got a lot of money rolling in that don't have reserves, and that money is starting to dry up, and they're in trouble. And we're fortunate that we built reserves. The other thing is it seems like the cloud was removed. We were able to have fun today, in our council meetings. We were able to laugh. We were able to clap a little bit. The atmosphere was much better, and I hope that we can keep that type of atmosphere up and relax a little bit and have a little fun at these council meetings.
Marcia, did you have a report?
Thank you. Of applications for each commission, and then I would set up interviews for you to interview them in sometime in January, and then we'd probably be appointing and then swearing them in the first meeting in February.
Any problem with that? Consensus to go ahead and give her that direction?
Councilman Clay, go ahead.
Councilman Clay.
It's important to me that we get it done as soon as possible. I think it's important to have a full council member, planning commission group and a full recreation commission group. And I'm up for a special meeting or whatever. And I guess January isn't too far away, but the sooner the better. If we have to have a special meeting or something, it's fine with me. But I want to see it get done as quickly as possible.
Councilmember O'Malley?
I was just wondering how many commission meetings would occur prior to us being able to make these appointments, looking at the calendar?
I believe there's probably one more this year. I don't think we're doing one later in December, so there's one now in December. There'll be two in January, and then I would be swearing them in the first meeting in February.
And I know there was some confusion by some of the commissioners. My understanding is the term's expired, so we might have a session with only five commissioners.
Actually, I've emailed all of them. They didn't ask me any questions. I explained to the at-large commissioners that even though their term technically expires in December, that I spoke on your behalf and said that the council would like you to serve until they interview and replace. And I've also offered all of them to reapply, and a few of them have taken out applications.
Well, I would agree with Councilmember Clay. I would certainly wouldn't mind a special session. We often do that anyway because we hold the interviews and make a selection. We would need to do that separate from a council meeting, and I would be very open to meeting before the next scheduled council meeting if you have the applications in for our review and we make a selection as soon as possible.
I will do what I can. If I advertise for a couple weeks, it's going to be pretty much Christmas. So at the end of that, that's why I was thinking maybe
early
just going
January.
Through the end of the year. So I thought I can schedule the interviews early in January. It's possible that we could have them. Again, when I was saying that there's two meetings a month, that's just the Planning Commission. The Parks and Rec only meets once a month, so there's fewer missed there. But I'll do my best to do it as soon as possible.
I have a question for...
I want to get a good group of applications, too.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes, I think you partially answered my question, Marcia, but I wondered if you were required to notice it for a certain length of time, because I think it's very important.
From what I can understood from the emails, they all were going to be serving until they were either reappointed or replaced. But I'll double check that.
Councilmember Clay?
Just reemphasize that we need to get to full speed, and this is a very important, and a special meeting in January, early January is fine with me, and
yes.
And let's get her done.
Okay, thank you.
You got your direction. Okay, City Attorney.
I have no comments tonight.
Okay, and Wade.
No report.
No report. Okay.
Let me add one thing, because we didn't get to report at the last meeting. The Finance Committee is meeting tomorrow at 1:30, and there has been some question before about being able to get Finance Committee information. It's exactly the same City Council or Planning Commission. It's online. You can sign up for those agendas and be notified. So that information, even though we haven't talked about it because we closed the council meeting, it is published. It's on the doors. It's on the website. It should be out there.
Yeah, I'd just like to say it's nice that we got balance on the Finance Committee again. We've had balance for years, and it's nice to see that we're back to that.
And Councilmember O'Malley, you had another announcement?
Yes, I did want to briefly mention I have applied for the Region 3 Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. It's a six-county group, and I do really appreciate the folks that have supported me on that. It's quite an ordeal. I've had a number of interviews with the Attorney General. You can look forward to that, Bob. I'm sure you'll do fine. And I'm waiting for some interviews with some folks at the state level, but I have had Kevin McCarthy and Abel Maldonado and Sam Blakesley have all supported me, all the mayors in our county, and hopefully the supervisors and a number of key folks. And I appreciate support from a lot of the environmental groups in our area. Turco Sims, who heads up the Green Build program. Nick Alter was we've met with, and he's with a C organization. And Doug Chisholm is president of ALPS, have also endorsed and supported me on this. And so I appreciate that support, and we'll just see how that goes. But I would look forward to serving on that board if I have the opportunity.
Thank you, Tom.
Chief Kurt Stone, and the meeting was excellent. The fire evacuation routes were outlined, and I think he's looking for input. So if there are questions, see Kurt Stone, and he'll help you out with that. It was a good meeting.
Thank you. And it's not even 9:30 yet. And I also wish everyone a good holiday season, and we will see you in the new year. And we'll hope that Tom can get his appointment. When are you supposed to know about that?
I have no idea.
It's the state, right? Okay, good night.